Anybody like superhero movies? Yeah? Yeah, what's your favorite superhero movies? Anybody? Superman? You? He watches videos of himself, calls a Flash Gordon. Wow, that's old school. Retro. Anybody else?
Iron Man.
Iron Man, the new movie. That was pretty good. I had no desire to see Iron Man, but it ended up being really good. Batman, you said? Batman's good. X-Men? Yeah? Underdog? Underdog. I used to love Mighty Mouse when I was a kid. Mighty Mouse, Banana Man. I think I remember Banana Man. Yeah, I remembered it. Grape Ape? Yeah. I don't think Grape Ape is a superhero. That's all right. Well, we're going to watch some clips of two superheroes. We're going to watch Superman, and then we're going to watch Spider-Man. Superman from back in the day for the old school crowd, Christopher Reeves. Spider-Man not too long ago. And we're going to just look at the superheroes and just see how they are. Just examine their life for a second.
Hey, you're awfully quiet over there. I'm supposed to be the shy one.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, I was just thinking, I can't believe what you've given up for me.
Are you kidding? I didn't do it for you, Lois, I did it for us.
See? I told you there'd be a hot tub place somewhere.
Okay. It sure takes longer when you can't fly.
Hurry up. Come on.
Okay. Oh, my back's stiff.
Come on, it's my treat. Come on. Thank you.
Hey, folks, do you have a mentor?
Yeah, right in the chorus.
Once it's done.
Yeah. Stay your eggs, Annie. Don't
worry. Can I have my coffee?
Yeah, coming right up.
Sorry, that's his take.
It is not a sweetheart. I'll buy you something to eat.
No, thank you.
Excuse me, sir. I think you're sitting in my seat.
No, it's...
All right. Clark!
You all right, fella?
He's going to be fine. Just give me that. Clark?
Blood. It's my blood.
I'm just Peter Parker. I'm Spider-Man. No more. No more.
Was it a little different than you were expected when I said we're going to show clips of Superman and Spider-Man? What was wrong?
They weren't super,
right? They both had a calling in life. They both were gifted to be able to do great things. And in both of these scenes, they walked away from their calling, right? Do you see that? They weren't very super at all, were they? Not at all. They were both supposed to be heroes. They were both supposed to be, if you will, almost a savior to the people they're supposed to help. Superman's getting beat up, should be protecting his woman, and he's like, my blood. That's my blood. You wimp, get up and protect your woman. Right? I'm bleeding. Okay. Spider-Man just has to walk away hopeless. You hear the bad music come on. Anytime that comes on, you know something's bad. He's walking away from his calling to help others, to protect others. Wow. Well, God has given us a calling, and it's almost the same thing. You could say, well, we're not really heroes, but in a sense, maybe we're more called to be heroes than you think. We're not really called to be anybody's savior. And of course, we're not fully, because who's the savior? Jesus. But yet, God has a calling for us that's almost along those lines, to reach out to others. Well, as a church, I strongly believe that it's normal for every believer to grow in Christ. We don't believe that you get saved and then you stop growing in Christ. God has a calling for all of us, doesn't He? That it just begins at salvation. It begins when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and save us and forgive us. That's the beginning. Our value, this is in your bulletin as well, one of our values that we went over for team members, we value spiritual growth. The pursuit of full devotion to Christ and His kingdom is what? Normal for every believer. See, it's not just the people who are radically on fire for God. That's supposed to be everybody. Right? Not those who super, super, super love Jesus. We're all supposed to love Jesus that much. Thomas Trask, he was our general superintendent for the Assemblies of God. I was reading his book, Seven Practices for Every Follower of Jesus, and I copied this quote down because I just thought it was so powerful. He said, "The Christian walk is not a single event, it is a progressive journey. Yes, there is the initial fact of one receiving Christ as Savior and entering into the Christian life. But there is so much that God desires to do in the life of the believer." Paul, I believe, is a role model for spiritual growth. We see that. Open your Bibles to Philippians. We're going to be going through Philippians, chapter 1, beginning verse 12 today. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. You see, God has given us a calling to grow in Him, to mature in Him, so that we would be kind of like superheroes into the world. That we would be keeping our calling. Superman's calling was to help people. Spider-Man's calling was to help people. I want to tell you today that our calling is to help people. Their calling was to rescue people. Our calling is to rescue people. What are we rescuing them from? That movie, Superman 2, he was rescuing them from the evil Zod. Anybody remember them? Anybody old enough to remember? All right, thank you, Rudy. Two guys and a girl. And the movie wasn't really that good. It doesn't hold up real well, I don't think. But Spider-Man, this one, he had to rescue people from, we just saw in the clip, from the robbers, but Doc Ock, ultimately, in that movie. We're called to rescue people from what? The flames of hell. Right? That's even more important than something else, because if somebody's robbing you, that's only for a little bit of time. Even if somebody kills you, that's an initial thing. Not good, but we're called to rescue people from hell that's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. What we're going to see today, Paul says in the continuing part of our series, Joy That Lasts, that spreading the gospel is preeminent. All right, spreading the gospel is preeminent. It's the most important thing, because why? That is our calling to rescue people, isn't it? We're called to keep the main thing the main thing. What's it all about? It's about spreading the gospel and reaching people. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians 1:12, and we're going to read for a little while here in Philippians. And Paul is going to share this truth with us today. Reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me to spread the good news." What has happened? What has happened? He's in prison. Remember, we talked about this last week. He's in prison. He's in prison for what? Preaching the gospel. He's in prison in Rome. The next blank on your paper, regardless of personal cost, spreading the gospel is still preeminent. He's in Rome. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28. Mark 16, go into the world and preach the good news. He doesn't say go and do anything else. It's about sharing the gospel, right? It's the only thing we're supposed to do. It's the only thing we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love God and tell others about God. That's what we're supposed to do. Regardless of personal cost, I want you to know that everything here that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. Think about that for a second. He's like, I want you to realize, you know I'm in prison. You know I'm suffering. You know that in the past I've been beaten with whips. I've been shipwrecked. I've been left for dead. Remember we shared before how in the book of Acts it said he was beat up, stoned. They threw him outside of the city and threw big rocks upon him till they thought he was dead. They went back into the city and he got back up when they were gone and went back into the city himself. They thought he was dead. He was busted up because he was preaching Jesus. Regardless of personal cost, sharing the gospel is preeminent in Paul's life. And others will see how real Christ is to us through us. Others will see how real Christ is to us through us. What do I mean? People are going to examine our lives and they're going to see, do we really believe what we say we believe? Do we really love Jesus? You understand, we can't just love Jesus on Sunday mornings for an hour and a half, right? If we really love Jesus, it's just going to permeate our lives. Right? Isn't it? It just will. People will see how real Christ is to us by looking through our lives. Look at verse 13 and 14. It says, for everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Verse 13, who knows he's in chains for Christ? Who knows he's a prisoner because of Jesus? Paul's saying that. Who knows that? He said the whole palace guard. All the prison workers. Why? He's witnessing to the jailers. Isn't that cool? Because spreading the gospel is preeminent. Everybody who's working there, they know he's not a lying, low-down, dirty thief. They know that he's in jail because of Christ. They know that Jesus is so real to Paul that he's willing to spend time in prison for Christ because he will not deny Jesus. The prison guards see through him how real Jesus is to him. My grandpa, in his bathroom, he had a little plaque. He still has it, I'm sure. It says that if you were on trial today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were on trial for being a Christian like Paul was, would they find enough evidence to convict you? Or would there not be that much evidence? And they can't prove that you really love God by looking at your life. They could tell that Paul loved God. There was enough evidence to convict him. He loved Jesus that much, and the guards seen that. Verse 14, it also says, because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. The believers are encouraged. Right? You see those that don't know Christ, the world, the lost, if you will, they see Paul's life and they're saying, there's something real there. Christ is real enough to Paul that he's willing to go through this. There's something real here. And you see the believers, those who love Jesus, gaining encouragement to speak for Christ. Does that make any sense that persecution brings empowerment? It's true. There's a quote that says, the church is built upon the blood of the martyrs. That the more they tried to kill the church, the more people rallied up. See, that's the problem with our nation today. I'm not asking for persecution, but we're allowed to do whatever we want as a church, and nobody has a backbone to stand for Jesus anymore. Right? In China, people are bold for Christ, and they lose their heads for that. In the bulletin, we have a thing every now and then that says, if you've never been baptized in water, that's the next step after we ask Jesus to come into our heart to save us. The Bible says you get baptized in water. For some reason, it's like pulling teeth to get people to get baptized in water, that they want to accept Christ, but they refuse to follow Him in water baptism. Sometimes it's very difficult. I've had times talking with people about getting baptized in water, and they just, like, they don't want to do that. I'm thinking that's the number one thing Jesus said you do after salvation. So you're going, like, step one, asking to forgive you. Step two, we're going to not listen to Him anymore. That's not a good way to begin your walk with Christ. In other nations, literally, probably even today, around the world, people are getting baptized in water where it's illegal to be a Christian. In public waterways. Think of that. Going down to the river, it's illegal to be a Christian, and you're going down to the river where everybody sees you. And you're getting baptized in water knowing that that could be your death sentence. That you're publicly identifying yourself with Christ, and the military and everybody else, like in communist China, they see you getting baptized. That you're saying, I'm a Christian and I don't care what the world says. Wow. In our nation, you can get baptized, nobody really cares. So we don't really care. Over there, it means you're saying, I'm dead to myself and I'm alive to Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If Jesus says to get baptized, I'll get baptized regardless of personal cost. Why? Because the gospel is preeminent. The gospel is preeminent. Here we see Paul is being persecuted. The believers are encouraged. The believers are encouraged because they say, if Paul can do that, I can do it too. Because Paul is my friend and I'm not going to let him suffer persecution and just be a yellow-bellied coward. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to stand for Christ. It's a thing of courage to stand for Christ, isn't it? It's a thing that takes bravery. Sometimes in our nation we want to say it's not a manly thing to love Jesus. It takes more of a man to stand up for Christ, I think, than anything else. It takes more desire for God and more, I'm going to love Jesus no matter what anybody says. It takes more backbone to stand for Christ than anything else. Spreading the gospel is preeminent. And the believers, they were encouraged by that. There was a reporter, Matthew Paris, who said this in the Sunday Times. He's not a Christian. He's a reporter. He's not a Christian. And he said this, "The New Testament offers a picture of God who does not sound vague at all. God sent His Son to earth. He had distinct plans for each of us personally so we can communicate with Him. We're capable of forming a direct relationship with Him individually, and we're commanded to try. We're told that this can be done through His Son and only His Son, and we are offered the prospect of eternal life and afterlife in happy, blissful, or glorious circumstances if we live this life in a certain manner." And he says, "Friends, if I believe that, or even a tenth of that, how could I care and argue over which prayer book is used?" He says, if I believed any of that, I would drop my job, sell my house, throw away all my possessions, leave my acquaintances, and set out into the world with a burning desire to know more, and when I had found more, to act upon it and tell others. Far from being puzzled that the Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists should knock on the door, I'm unable to understand how anyone who believed that which is written in the Bible could choose to spend their waking hours in any other endeavor." Again, someone who's not a Christian. He talks about what the Bible says and he says, if I believe that, there's no way I would just sit back and look at life and not go out and share with somebody. How can we have this message of Christ, this life-changing message, and not share with somebody? It's a little bit like Superman not helping people. It's a little bit like Spider-Man with the powers to save others and not helping people. A little bit like that. He goes on in Philippians, there's no competition with others who are preaching the truth. Look at verse 18. Or 15, I'm sorry. It says, it is true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Though those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ, they preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. Paul goes on and he says, there's no competition between other people who are preaching the gospel. There's no competition with others. Your next blank is when they're preaching the true gospel. Are we in competition with any of the other churches in the area? We've talked about this before. If they're a Bible-believing church, we're not in competition with them, right? Let's just make up a fake church. Just say like Minatola Family Church up the road, which there isn't one. But just say if there was one. Do I hope we get more people for our egg hunt than they do for theirs? No. I hope they get a lot of people if they had one. I hope they share with Christ. I hope people come to know Him. We're not in competition with other people. Why? Because it's not about who has the bigger church. Sharing the gospel is preeminent. Right? Paul even says, even if you don't like other people, even if their motives aren't pure, praise God the gospel's being preached. Right? That's a big statement. Even if the pastors are just out to get people, Paul's not saying it's okay to have bad motives, but he's saying, I'm locked up in prison, there's nothing I can do about it, but praise God, people are learning about Christ. Right? Praise God. Now, he's not saying that it's okay if the message is impure, if the message is wrong. He's not saying that. He's saying if the preacher's motives are wrong. In other places, Paul rips people for having the wrong message. Don't ever think that the church who's sharing false teaching is okay. That's not okay. False prophets are not okay. But we're not in competition with other people who are preaching the truth. We can be different than them. We can do things different than them. That's fine. But as long as they're preaching the truth, we're not in competition with them. Why? Because spreading the gospel is preeminent. Do you see that? We're going to move on here. The last thing, before we get to the next last thing. Verse 20. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between these two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so that I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what He is doing through me. He is saying that preaching is preeminent even in the face of death. Even in the face of death. Wow. Why? Because Paul understands that this life is just a vapor. This life is like fog that's here in the morning, and then before you know it, the sun shines and it's gone. Anybody notice how fast life goes by? It was just yesterday that I was holding my little daughter after delivery, squeegee in her nose because she couldn't breathe. It was like yesterday that we had to change her and she had the umbilical cord. Anybody ever do that as a dad? What do I do with that thing? You know what I mean? Like, that's just nasty. You know, right? Only yesterday. Life goes by so fast. It goes by so fast. Paul knows that we're only here for a little while to glorify God. This is just a forerunner to what really is important, and that's heaven. There's going to come a time when God calls us home. For some of us, it might be a long time from now. For some of us, it could be very soon. We don't know when. But there's going to come a time when God is going to call us into heaven, and it's much like this. It's like walking through a curtain. And you just open up the curtain, and you're in a whole other room. When I was a kid, we didn't have money for whole house air conditioning, so you had the window air conditioning in the living room with a big blanket over the doorway. Anybody ever have that? And you would go from the living room, and all of a sudden you're into the kitchen and it's sweltering. Kind of like that, but we go from this life, where it's not so good, for the believer, into the presence of God. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's what death is. It's walking into the next stage of our existence. The one that God created us for. The one where we stand before Him and we'll hear either, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or "Depart from me, I never knew you." But we will enter another curtain. We don't die like, and you're just dead. You don't just die and go in the grave and rot. Paul knew that. Paul knew there was life. That's why in the face of death, he's able to say, "If they kill me, I just go home to be with the Lord. What are they going to do to me?" How is this possible again? The realities of heaven. Look at verse 22. I always preach this, that heaven needs to be a reality for us. Look at verse 22. "If I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I don't really know which is better. I'm torn between these two desires. I long to be with Christ, which would be far better for me." Christ would be better for him. For those who don't know God, they think all we have in this world is money, popularity, power, pleasure, prestige. Paul knows there's more to living than that. Paul knows there's more to living. For Paul, his whole purpose was to speak out boldly for Christ and to become more like Him. I think that should be our purpose as well. To become more like Jesus and to speak out for Him. Why? Because we know that everybody who we ever meet one day will walk through that curtain, and we want them prepared for what's on the other side. That's why the gospel is so important. Matthew Henry, the great commentary writer, said this, "Death is a great loss to the carnal, worldly man. For in death, the worldly man loses all of his earthly comforts and hopes. For the believer, it is great gain. For it is the end of all of his weakness and misery. It delivers an end to all the evils of life and brings him before God with all the blessings of eternity." We look forward to being with Jesus, don't we? Don't we? We've only had one person who was a part of our church who passed on since we've been here. Everybody remembers Denise. Whenever I find a picture of Denise, I always stick it in our bulletin. Remember for Buna Day last year, to promote us helping with Buna Day, I stuck a picture of Denise in the bulletin by the booth, here serving. Denise, I know she knew Christ. I know she did. If you were here for that prayer meeting, I remember she sat right around here and was crying out to God here. And I know that last year Denise was in heaven looking down at us saying, "I can't help you with Buna Day this year, but go out. Tell people about Jesus." I imagine she's saying something like this, "It's better than you think. The green is greener. I can run even faster than I thought I could." How awesome. Because it's just a curtain. That's why we need to share the gospel. Because before you know it, somebody's going to pass on the other side. And we want them to be ready. Now, again, these four things, spreading the gospel is preeminent. Paul says, regardless of personal cost, regardless of what it costs me, I need to spread the gospel. Others will see how real Christ is to us, through us. They will see our example. We need to live for Christ. We need to share the gospel. One way we're sharing is just how people look at us. There's no competition between others. If they're preaching the true gospel, God bless them. We're not trying to compete against them. Even in the face of death, we'll live for Christ. How is this possible? Your last blank on your page. The key to living this way is prayer. If you notice, we skip verse 19 and barely touched verse 20. Glance in your Bible, verse 19 and 20. Paul says, "For I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die." He says, as you pray for me and as the Spirit of Jesus helps me, that will lead to my deliverance. Now they believe Paul actually did get out of that prison for a few years. He ended up back in the prison and was ultimately executed. But he did get out, historians believe, for a little while. But nonetheless, their prayers would lead to his deliverance. Either from this life or from the prison, they would lead to his deliverance. The guy who wrote the Bible says, "I expect and hope that I'll never be ashamed." I don't know about you, but I'm thinking this guy was pretty bold, and he says, "I hope that I won't be ashamed. I hope that I'll continue to be bold." And he asked for prayer. Isn't that astonishing? The man who wrote the Bible said, "There's a good chance I could fail Christ. There's a good chance that I could be weak. Pray for me." What's the key? The key is prayer. The key is prayer. I need prayer to be strong for Christ. I need prayer. Do you need prayer? You need prayer to be strong for Christ. You need prayer. The early church, they needed prayer. Do you remember the story of Peter? Walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Being a disciple of Jesus wasn't even enough to have him be bold for Christ. He failed Jesus at the moment Jesus needed him the most and denied that he ever knew him. Remember, a little servant girl came over. "You're one of his disciples." "Not me, I don't know him." He was punked down by a little girl because he was afraid for his life. He needed to be filled with the presence of God. He needed God's Spirit upon him. He needed to seek God and be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He needed prayer. He needed God to work. If you're here today, this is a tall order to make spreading the gospel preeminent in your life. What's the key? Seeking God. It honestly is. It's prayer. Get in His Word, but you got to pray. How does this affect our lives personally? If your number one thing is to, for men, if your number one thing is to have Jesus be preeminent in your life, spreading the gospel to be preeminent, you'll live out this truth I just shared the other week, that to your spouse, for men, you will love your spouse as Christ loves the church. Men, you will love your wives as Christ loved the church, unconditionally, right? Because your whole body just flows out of just spreading the gospel. Like everything is just about Christ. And you know what? Your wife will love you for it if you love Jesus and if you spread His gospel through all you do. How will you love your wife? Remember, we said unconditionally. Unconditionally. How about if your wife doesn't deserve forgiveness? You didn't deserve forgiveness either, so you would forgive your wife just as Christ loved the church. You would provide for your wife. You would provide for your wife. You wouldn't be the freeloader guy, because Jesus provides for the church, doesn't He? You would forgive. You would love. Tall order. How do we do that? Prayer. Get into the Word. If spreading the gospel is preeminent, for women, you would be able to love your husbands and submit to your husbands, as the Bible says. As I shared a few weeks ago as well, you'd be able to submit to your husband's authority. That you would be able to love your husband and respect your husband. Because just as the church submits to God, just as Jesus, we even see Him submitting to the Father's will, you would do that for your husband. Of course, I'm not talking abuse. That's always the flip side. Well, does that mean men can boss their wives around? Again, love your wives as Christ loved the church, self-sacrificially. But if that's how a Christian married couple works, it works well. Spreading the gospel should be preeminent in our own lives. Not just in the church, but in our own lives and our own families. How about with our children? What if we spread the gospel and it's all about Jesus with our children? Guess what? Children love Jesus. The disciples had a hard time keeping kids off of Jesus' lap. It seems like every time He sat down, there was a little boy or girl wanting to run over and climb on His lap. Because He was so good. Because He was so awesome. If you loved your children like Jesus does, if you were more like Jesus and the gospel was flowing through you, you would have a better relationship with your children. Wouldn't you? We all would. Prayer is the key. Seek God. Seek God for His power. Seek God for Him to help you. You need to do this. Back to the superhero thing, you're the one who can rescue people from the flames of hell. Is it just you? No. Thank God for that. It's not all about you. It's the Holy Spirit working in people. But God does send us to be His messengers. One of the last things, and I'm going to close here. We've all heard the quote, preach always, when necessary, use words. Anybody ever hear that before? I think that's from St. Francis of Assisi, I believe. Some people have used that to say, let's just live life and not tell anybody about Jesus. And let's just be honest. There's a lot of honest people that aren't going to heaven. You can't do that. We need to live like Christ, but we need to let somebody know. We need to live like Christ, then we need to pray, Lord, help me to share You with whoever You bring across my path. And the Lord will bring somebody. And when that opening is there, you have to take it. You have to take it. Well, what do I say? Just start with, how are you? Start with, God bless you. Start with, God is good, isn't He? The Lord is good. Start somewhere. Take the step of faith, and you'll find, as Jesus said, I will give you the words. But if we don't tell anybody, we're not spreading the gospel. And our friends and our family and our neighbors will all go to hell. Apart from us sharing or somebody sharing. Let's be people who would be used by God to change the world. Can we do that? Let's not be Superman who gave up his powers. That was pathetic, wasn't it? Blood. It's my blood. It's pathetic. Let's not be Spider-Man who's afraid to actually live up to his purpose in life. As the Christian, our purpose is to spread the gospel. There's not a whole lot more than that. It's to live for God and tell somebody else. It's kind of like we're all on the edge of a pool. We all have life rings in our hand. We see people drowning, but we're afraid to throw them out because somebody might think we're silly. If we throw them out, that's what God wants us to do. Whether or not they grip on to the ring, that's between them and the Lord. God's called us to just spread the gospel. Now we need to redeem our superheroes. So let's watch this 1 minute clip and see if it gets a little better, because I can't leave with Superman and Spider-Man looking like that. You go, Spider-Man. All right.
All right, Rock?
Yeah?
Give me another plate of this garbage.
Garbage? That's my number one special, Rocky.
All right, eh? Miss more coffee, too.
See, that's funny. Never seen garbage eat garbage before. This order's to go.
All right. That's how we should leave our superheroes. Listen, you can be super in the life of somebody. You can actually lead towards their salvation. How cool is that? Don't forget, it's all about spreading the gospel. It's not about anything else. That's what it's about. It's about sharing Christ. If as a church we don't share Christ, let's go fishing on Sunday mornings. Okay. But it is about sharing Christ, so we'll go fishing on Sunday afternoons. Amen. The Lord is good, isn't He?